Thank you for listening to this message from Northwest Hills Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. You can learn more about our church at nwhills.com. Today, lead pastor Josh Karstensen is continuing a series on prayer as a spiritual discipline. In this message, we explore what listening to God is all about. How can you hear His voice? What He's saying, and how do you respond? God spoke to us through prophets for thousands of years, which is a simple yet profound act. But now, God has spoken through Christ, and we ought to be a people who beg to listen to Him. So, let's talk about the process of listening to God. Also, as part of the Something to Say series, we'll start the message with someone's testimony. We hope you find it encouraging. Now, here's today's message.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Schweitzer, and I came to Corvallis in 1991 when I transferred to OSU, and I began going to Northwest Hills at that time. Throughout my spiritual journey, God has met me in so many ways, and more recently, as I have had friendships with women who have real dynamic and experiential relationships with God in their prayer life, and I've wanted that to be more about, more in my life. So as I was seeking and trying to grow in my prayer life, October 3rd last year, I was just asking God this question: is there anything that's keeping me from receiving all that you have for me? And as I'm walking through that day, I had learned that there's a couple questions you can ask God. And one was really intriguing to me, and one was had to do with asking Him, will you teach me more about you or about your creation? And that in John, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is in us, and He will remind us of things we've learned, but He'll also teach us, He can teach us new things. And I was like, Lord, will you teach me something new about you or your creation? And that was just really, it was exciting. And it was really fun to ask Him and just to keep asking, like a little kid asks their dad. And I just kept asking all that day. And as I went to bed, I was asking, Lord, will you teach me something new about you or your creation? And I went to sleep and woke up a couple times that night. And when I woke up at around 2 o'clock, I asked Him that, Lord, will you teach me something new about you or about your creation? And this word came to my mind. It was Sputnik. And I was like, that's odd. I don't know what that has to do with this. And so I went back to sleep. And I probably woke up again around 4, and I said, Lord, will you teach me something new about you or your creation? And the same word came to my mind, Sputnik. And I thought, okay, that's not what I expected. And then when I woke up in the morning, before I got out of bed, I said, Lord, will you teach me something new? And the same word came to my mind, Sputnik. And then with a sense of, go look it up. And I knew it had to do with the space program, but that's about it. And so I went and I looked it up. And it was a Russian satellite in the 50s. And as I was reading through it, nothing seemed to really make sense yet. And then I came to the meaning in Russian. And Sputnik does mean satellite, but it also means a companion, your traveling companion. And when I read that, it was like this overwhelming sense of God saying, I am your traveling companion. I am with you. And He was doing it in this kind of playful way that would get my attention. And it made me want to pursue Him more and keep asking questions and keep listening, making space to listen to what He had to say. So then that day, I couldn't wait to tell Elias when he got home from school. So we went on a walk and I told him the story. And when I finished, he looked at me and he said, Mom, did you know that today's the day? I think I'm gonna cry. Today's the day that they launched Sputnik in 57. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I learned that today in history. And I was like, wow, that's even more profound to me that he chose that same day to speak that to me. And I want more of those moments in my life. And I've been experiencing more of those now that I've been making more space to listen, making more space to believe that He might be communicating to me rather than it just being coincidence, and really investigating what do you have to say to me. I'm really thankful to God that He wants to communicate to each of us in unique and playful personal ways. And it's been so profound, my journey since then, in asking Him these questions and making space to listen. And I'm just really thankful that He wants to meet each of us where we are. He wants to show us his love through connecting maybe words that don't make sense initially to "I'm your traveling companion and I love you and I'm with you." So if you are finding yourself wanting to grow in your prayer life, I would look around and see, is there somebody that seems to have that relationship? And I would invite them out to coffee and see where that journey might take you. The Lord has something to say to each one of us, and he has something powerful to say to you, and he just wants you to listen.
We are in week 4 of a 5-week series on prayer, on spiritual discipline of prayer. The fact is, it is a discipline, right? It's something that's hard. To pray doesn't naturally come easy for a lot of us. Most people, if we were to be honest, say, man, I could get better at prayer, or I'm, you know, I feel stagnant in my prayer life. And man, every once in a while you come across someone who's just one of those prayer giants, and you just look at them as if like, man, I will never be there. I kind of respect that, and I kind of don't know what to do with it, but that's great that that's you. I'm just over here. What we've been talking about is that in order to grow in our faith, like, it takes practice. It takes work. We don't just a year from now all of a sudden look back and go like, man, I really grew this last year. That doesn't happen, right? It's just like fitness. We've been saying this. No one a year from now is going to look back and be like, dude, I just got totally jacked this year and I have no idea how, right? That doesn't happen. That's just not a thing. That being said, I will give the caveat that everything that I just said about our spiritual growth sometimes is completely untrue. Right? Because sometimes we go through a year that we did not plan on growing in our faith at all, and we look back and we go, wow, Lord, look what you did in my life that I had no part of. I did not go into this year planning to be a Christian, first of all. I did not go into this year planning to be a church attender. I did not plan any of this, and yet here I am. God, your grace has been powerful in my life. Thank you for that. And if that's your story, yes and amen. I want to hear that story. I love those stories. Right, but for most of us, right, most of us, our story is, man, there's incremental long periods of time where I am slowly growing, and that's through what we may call grace-driven effort, right? Where the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? We are called to be a people who are disciplined in our pursuit of loving Jesus. And so we're talking about that. What does it look like to be a disciplined people? So we've been talking about prayer different weeks. Last week, Gary, our youth pastor, was up here. He was talking about praying with God. The week before, we were talking about praying to God. Today, we're talking about listening to God. Before we get into the topic of listening to God, though, I want to share a statistic that I shared a few years ago. I think it's really a staggering number, and I think it's something that just ought to inspire us in our prayer life. This was in the early 90s. There was It was a Gallup poll in the early 90s, and statistics have changed since early 90s. But in the early 90s, there was a poll that went out amongst church-going Christians, regularly church-attending Christians, about divorce rates, right? And the average family who went to church had a divorce rate that was basically synonymous with those who did not go to church. Somewhere around 50%. Now, those numbers have changed significantly. Way less people are getting married these days. But of those folks who pray together daily, right? Some of you remember what I said. It is one out of 1,153 couples who get divorced who pray together daily. Now, if that is not inspiration to pray together daily, I don't know what is. Like, there's some free therapy, some free counseling. Just get after it with the Lord together. Right? I'm telling you, it works. Like, statistically, it is a thing, right? Because why? I think it works for two reasons. Number one, you're inviting God into your life and you're asking him to move and work. And two, you're being honest and open with what you're going through, with what you're feeling. You're expressing with your spouse, hey, here's my heart for the Lord. Here's my heart for you. And that type of communication doesn't often happen. All right, so through prayer, just one small thing that aligns us, that really builds an intimacy within our relationship. So that's on the side. We should be people who pray. That statistic should motivate us. I'm just saying. If you got a Bible, let's go Hebrews 1. And by the way, my name's Josh. If you're new here, welcome. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 1. I'll be there in just a second. We're talking about this idea of listening to God today, and Listening to God, the idea of listening to God is a weird concept. It's a hard concept. I think it's one, you know, even like, I'll be honest, watching that video with Rebecca, and Rebecca's in the room. You're here. I saw you walk in. Yes, man, thank you for that. For a lot of us, like what she experienced, I think a lot of us go like, huh, I wonder what that would be like. I wonder what it'd be like to get a word from the Lord. What would it be like to hear something from God? And we want to hear things from God, but it's hard, right? It's hard to listen. Listening is not an easy concept when it comes to hearing God's voice. I think most of us would say to a certain degree, man, I don't know that I've ever heard God's voice. I think a lot of us would wrestle through that. I think when we think about hearing God's voice, we come at it from a couple different angles. Some of the times I think we're in a life situation where we have a particular problem in front of us, and we would like God to speak to said problem, right? Maybe it's, you're kind of needing to go one of two directions, whatever that may be. Maybe it's relationally, maybe it's career-wise, maybe it's physically, and you're like, God, I want some discernment. I want direction. Would you speak and help me know which way to go? I think some of us have been there before. We kind of want an affirmation of God's will, right? When I think of that type of longing, I think of Gideon in Judges 6. There's this interesting passage in Gideon, or in Judges, where this guy Gideon, he hears something from the Lord, and he wants to affirm, God, is this really from you? Listen to this. This is Judges 6:36. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, right? So God's already told him that. He's heard this, but he wants confirmation. He wants affirmation. I want to hear something from you again. And he says, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Right, so God's already told him something, and he's like, I don't know that what you've already told me, I don't know if I can hold on to that, so I'm going to kind of test you, if you will. And man, some of us do this with prayer, right? We want to hear God's voice to affirm something that maybe we think we ought to do. God, I'll do this. I think you want me to do this, but I'd really like you to just make it super clear. I think there are other times when we want to, quote, hear from God, when we just generally feel far from him. Right? We may be going through seasons where, man, I don't know that, God, you exist in the way that I think you do. I'd like you to speak to me. I'd really like to hear from you. You know, maybe we're discouraged in our faith. Maybe we're going through whatever period of struggle that may be in front of us, and we may be struggling through doubts and fears, and we want to hear from God. God, I would like to just have some sort of semblance of your peace. I want something because I don't feel like I'm getting much, right? And there's a lot of biblical people who go through stories like this, who go through seasons like this. I think of Elijah, right? Some of you will remember Elijah. Elijah goes through this moment where God moves in his life in a profound, powerful way, right? Fire comes from heaven. He consumes this altar in this kind of pagan prophet showdown, and Elijah's feeling great, and then life takes a turn, and he's running away, and he's hiding, and he's in a cave. This is moments after God shows up in a profound way, and he feels like, man, I feel all alone, and it's as if Elijah's saying, God, I'd really like you to speak to me because I'm really insecure in my faith right now. And it's in this moment, kind of what we would think of a famous biblical moment where God speaks, right? And he speaks in this really unique way because God shows up, but he doesn't show up in the wind, and he doesn't show up in the earthquake, and he doesn't show up in the fire, but he shows up in what way? In a whisper. Three of you were paying attention. Thank you. That's good. He shows up in a whisper, and we like this thought. All right, let's be honest. I think some of us, when we think about listening prayer, when we think about listening to God, we think about this idea, God's going to whisper. I just want to hear that whisper, right? Anyone ever had that longing like, man, I would love to just hear that whisper, right? A lot of us have had that longing before. And then I think there's sometimes where maybe we don't have a particular question, And maybe it's not that, I need to be affirmed in my faith or God's love for me, but I think sometimes we approach listening to the Lord as if we have kind of a blank piece of paper in front of us, and we just want God to write something on it, right? Maybe we're in a season of transition in our life. Maybe we're about to enter retirement, or maybe we're in the middle of changing careers, and we're pretty open to what God might do in our life, but we just don't know what it is. And we're asking, God, would you show me what you want in this next season of my life? How should I live? What do you want me to do? And it's a very open prayer. God, speak to me. I would love to hear from you. I'm willing. I'm able. If I hear something, I'm all in. But man, I just don't know that I'm hearing anything. Man, would you speak? I think there's a lot of times where we have that posture of I'm open to God speaking. And as we hear about God speaking, I want to nuance listening to him this morning. And I want to say, man, most of the time the problem isn't that God has a hard time speaking, but it's that we have a hard time listening. And we're going to chew on that this morning. What does it mean to actually listen to God? And here's the truth. Listening's really hard. Ron was talking about it earlier, and I affirm that in my life. Listening is really challenging. I think about different areas where I struggle to listen sometimes. And if you were here last week, you learned that our youth pastor is a phenomenal dad and he puts his kids down to bed. Well, your senior pastor doesn't do that. His wife does that. And my wife puts our kids to bed most nights and she reads to them. They've read so many books. It's actually really inspiring. And most nights I'm doing something different. But occasionally I'll jump in there. And when I jump in there, I have to tell myself, Josh, if you want to hear what's being read, you actually actively have to listen. Because I can sit there for 30 minutes, hear every single word that's said, and not hear one word. Just being honest, right? Because I'm jumping into the middle of a story. I am wrestling with my 7-year-old who, man, Lord help her, has the genes of her father and cannot sit still. And I think oftentimes in life, right, I think oftentimes like there's so much going on that to really listen, it's really hard, right? How many of us have been in conversations, right? Here's just an honest confession. There are times with my wife where we'll be talking. I mean, this isn't that often, so don't feel too bad for her. But on occasion, we'll be talking, and I just have to apologize. I have to say, I am so sorry. I wasn't listening. And it's not like I'm in the other room doing something else. It's like we're talking and she says something and I have to say, man, I'm really sorry. And I feel stupid. Like it feels really embarrassing even to admit. And I have to say, hey, I wasn't listening. Can you say that again? I got you. And I think a lot of times when it comes to hearing God's voice, I think we struggle to listen, right? And what does it look like to actually listen? And this is where we're going to get into the text today. As we're getting in Hebrews 1, you think about the author of Hebrews, and we don't know who it was. We know that it was written somewhere between 30 and 40 years after Jesus left. So it's already been a long time since Jesus is gone, relatively speaking, 30 to 40 years. He's writing to a group of people who we don't know who they are. We don't know the exact audience, but they are a Hebrew audience, hence the name Hebrews. These people are very familiar with the Old Testament law. They're very familiar with the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And there are people who are struggling in their faith, wondering, man, does God really work today? Is he sufficient to save me now? Is he speaking? Because there's a lot of social pressure right now that's going to kind of urge people to move away from the living God. And the author of Hebrews is going to say, no, God's speaking and he has something to say to you. He is with you in this. With this background, he starts out, and we're going to just read the first verse of the first chapter. And we read these words from this author. He says, or she, he, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time, and this is important. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. See, there's something that's very clear. God speaks. He's not silent, right? We don't follow a God who kind of created the world and just threw it out there and we're kind of just doing our own thing. Like, God is active in the world that he created, and he's been active for a long time. And if God's speaking, that means we probably should be paying attention. What is he saying? And he spoke through the prophets. So, man, there's a very particular way that God generally speaks. And for thousands of years, it was through prophets. Right? And we can question why. I question that all the time. Why would you speak that way? Right? It seems like there's way more efficient ways that you could have spoken. Right? You can think of all the different efficient ways historically that God could have spoken to his people. Right? A little hologram every morning on the nightstand when you wake up. Here's the Lord today. Here's what I'd like you to do. I feel like that'd be pretty helpful. Apparently not. God has his own way of communicating, but he spoke through prophets. When we think about God speaking and us listening, particularly in the Old Testament to prophets, the person who comes to mind is the person Samuel. And you think about this interaction that God has with Samuel when Samuel's really young. Samuel was the prophet who was kind of the last judge right before Saul becomes king, right before David is king. We just studied David in the fall. But there's this unique moment where Samuel's young. He's in the house of Eli, who's the priest, and he's about to go to bed, and he hears this voice, and he thinks it's Eli, so he gets up, and he goes over to Eli and says, "Hey, what do you want? What do you want?" And Eli's like, "I didn't call you," and he goes back to bed, and he hears the voice again, and so he goes back to Eli, and Eli's, no, it wasn't me, and after three times, Eli's like, "Hey, next time this happens, this is the Lord, so here's your posture. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This is what I need you to say." Right? And you and I, we can think about that, and that's a posture that I really like. Right? That's a posture that we can think about. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Right? I think that's something that is a great prayer on the way to church. Right? If we can possibly muster up any sort of like cohesive thinking on our way to church, I think a posture of speak, Lord, your servant is listening is a great posture to have. But we're going to see the challenge with that, because sometimes when God speaks, we don't like what he says. Right? And that's hard. Right? What happens when God speaks and we don't like what he says? In 1 Samuel 3, God does speak to Samuel, and this is a part that I don't think we often think about when we think about how neat it was that Samuel heard God's voice. Well, what was the first thing that God told Samuel? This is verse 11. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli,'" this is his spiritual mentor, his boss, "'all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.'" Sometimes when we hear God's voice, it's not really something that we want to hear. And when we hear something that we don't want to hear, we have a choice, right? We get to decide, where does the authority in my life come from? Am I going to hear God's word and am I going to submit to it? Or am I going to do what we're often tempted to do and say, "You know what? That's great that you said that. I actually heard that, but I'm going to go and live my own life anyways." Right? I know you call us to a radical submission. I know you call us to a totally different biblical sexual ethic. God, I know you call us to be radically forgiving of other people, but I think I'm just going to do my own thing. Right? This is the story of ancient Israel. This is the story of the Hebrew people. God makes it abundantly clear, here's how I want you to live. And over and over and over, the people go, "I hear you, but I'm not actually listening and I'm going to do my own thing." Right? Now, what's the problem with that way of living? Well, the problem with that way of living is, what if God is actually real and what if he means what he says? Right? What if God is actually real and he means what he says? Let's go back to Samuel for a minute. Samuel heard words that were really hard. Now imagine if Samuel takes those words to his boss and he says, "Hey, here's what God says." And Eli, imagine if Eli says, "You know what? That's your truth. That's not my truth." Right? And not only is that your truth and not my truth, your truth is harmful and is keeping us from progress. Right? And so I'm just going to ignore that altogether. Right? Now, in what universe does that actually work? the universe where God's not real. But in the universe where God is real, and when God says, I'm going to do something, don't you think we ought to pay attention? So here's Eli. Eli does believe that God's real, and he wants to hear his words, and he's willing to hear his words at any cost. We see the next verse in verse 15. This is how Eli responds to these words delivered through Samuel. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Naturally, right? Those aren't words. Sometimes we hear God's words, and they're scary to tell to other people. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? He says, do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. Right, that's kind of that like major gulp moment where you're like, okay, here's what he says. So Samuel told him everything and he hid nothing from him. And this is Eli's response. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Man, now that's praying to listen, right? That's having a posture that says, when I hear the words of God, I'm really going to listen, and sometimes I'm going to get a word that's really hard to receive, and it's going to tell me that my life ought to look a certain way, and it's going to tell me, man, sometimes I need to push into this area a little bit more, or sometimes I need to pull back from this area a little bit more, and man, it needs to speak for itself, and I need to be like Eli and say, it's the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. I need to obey him. Samuel had a spirit and a heart of listening to the Lord. Verse 19 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Man, that's a posture of God. I want to hear everything that you say, and I don't just want to hear it. I really want to listen. And I want to live accordingly. And that's how God spoke for thousands of years. He spoke through these people. But then there's a major transition, right? If you're familiar with Christianity, if you're familiar with how God's worked, something major happened, and we see this in verse 2. Something very different in how God speaks. And it makes it both very easy and I think simultaneously incredibly challenging for us to actually listen to the words of God. Listen to this. I'm picking it back up in Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But, this is verse 2, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Okay, again, this is 30 to 40 years after Jesus is gone. He's saying, God has spoken. Right, we need to listen. God has spoken by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. God used to speak through the prophets. Now, for you and I, God spoke through Jesus. For the next 10 chapters, the author of Hebrews is going to make the argument that Jesus is someone that we need to listen to because he is God, right? There is not a more clear, concise description of Jesus being God by someone outside of Jesus himself making that claim. I mean, here the author says he created the world, right? He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He's saying, if you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God's saying, look at the person of Jesus. Look at what he has done. Look at what he's saying. And he builds this argument for multiple chapters. Right, if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, the first two chapters, he's saying, Jesus is better than the law. He's better than the promised land. He's better than the priest. And then he really goes off and he says, he's better than any of the sacrificial systems. And these people are very familiar with the sacrificial system. And they're saying, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And because of that, look what he gave for you. Man, we got to be a people who listen. We have to listen to what Jesus said. You think about what Jesus gave. And here's the thing, I think we listen to people that we love, right? And if we don't love Jesus, we're not going to listen to him. I think it would be a good exercise to go through Hebrews and really get this picture of Jesus is better than all these other things. And I want us to think about who Jesus is. I want us to think for just a minute, what sacrifice did Jesus make for us? I was listening to a clinical psychologist talk about the death of Jesus recently. And I'm just going to read the description of this. This is in a dialogue and a conversation that he was having, and he said this. He says, "You cannot write a more tragic story. It's impossible, because it's the story of the aggregation of everything that people are afraid of." Think with me for just a minute. The death of Jesus is the aggregation of everything that you and I are afraid of. There was no death more painful than crucifixion. That's why the Romans invented it, to punish political miscreants, the slow, agonizing death by suffocation and dehydration and exposure. It was extraordinarily painful. But then comes the other pain, and this pain is much more significant than the physical suffering in some ways. He says, plus you know it's coming, and that's a big part of the story. Jesus came to earth knowing that the cross was coming, right? Plus your best friends betray you, plus your people, your own people turn against you, plus they're led by a tyrant who doubts truth, plus you're a victim of the Roman Empire, plus you're completely innocent, and everyone knows it. Plus, they choose a criminal to be released from this experience instead of you, even though they know he's a criminal, and they know you're innocent. And you're young, and all you've done is help people. And you add to that, you're the second figure of the Godhead who's lived forever in eternity, creator of all things. And you left heaven to come to earth knowing this was all coming. And you took on the pain and the weight and the feelings of your father turning his back on you while you were being crucified. And for what? For you and I. All right, that's something to think about. Jesus is worth listening to. In chapter 2, verse 1, there's a giant therefore. Because Jesus is worth listening to, he says this. Because Jesus is God, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what? To what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. See, God's spoken through Jesus. And as we pray, I want our prayer to be, God, you've spoken, I want to hear. I want to listen. Right? If I'm going to grow in my faith, I have to have a prayer of, God, I have full access to you every time I open up your word. But just like me listening to my wife read a story to our kids, I think we can be focused on what we're hearing and not actually listen. Right? I think we can hear a lot of things. I think we can come to church, even right now, we are all hearing a sermon, right? We can read a book and we can hear words. We can listen to a podcast. We can hear things. And sometimes hearing doesn't equate to listening. But when we know who Christ is, and we have a mind that says, I'm praying that I want to truly listen, it's then that God transforms us, when we actually listen. At the end of Hebrews, the author in chapters 11 through 13, he's going to make the argument. He's going to say, look around and see all these people who have really listened, who have given their lives. And yes, they are going through all kinds of suffering, and it's hard, but every one of them will tell you it's worth it. Every single one of them. And as we close here and we think about prayer and we think about praying to have a heart that really listens to his words, because we have them. As we close, I said, I think it's easier and harder. I think it's easy to listen to God's word because there's never been a time in history where we have more access to the words of God than today in America. Right? It's everywhere, which is both exhilarating and paralyzing. Because it's everywhere, right? We have full access all the time. If you want to hear God's voice, you open up that Bible and you read and God speaks. But most of the time, we're just not listening, right? Because there's so many other voices. There's so much instant access to everything. I think it makes it really, really hard. But the challenge is to really hear. In Hebrews 3, the author says these words, and I love this challenge, and I love how he roots it in history. He says, today, if you hear his voice, and I'm saying today, this is for us, today, if you hear his voice, he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. We sang a song here, and if you're not familiar with Christianity as we sang it, it would sound very strange. I get that. It's talking about taking us out of Egypt and into freedom from slavery. Well, God's people were enslaved for 400 years, and God takes them out of slavery, but he doesn't actually just take them to the promised land right away. He takes them into the desert, and it's in the desert where God begs them, I want you to listen to me. I don't just want you to hear me. I want you to listen to me. And he tells them, hey, here's how I want you to live. And what do they do? What's their response? Their response is, you know what? It was better in slavery back in Egypt, right? And they didn't actually listen, right? This is verse 8. He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. And sometimes I think God takes us through seasons of testing. All right, this may be a season right now. You're here hearing God's words in his book. It's a test. Are you actually listening or are you just hearing? Right? And when we hear and don't listen, God's willing to take us longer into the desert. He's willing to go 40 years. Right? He's like, oh, you didn't hear me the first time? Like, you don't think I'm for you? You don't think I can take you to that promised land? You don't think I can, you know, open up that Red Sea? You don't think we can cross the Jordan? Let's just circle around for 40 years and see if you're going to believe me. Right? And that's where some of us are right now. We're just wandering, and God's saying, hey, I'm waiting for you to actually listen. And sometimes, gosh, that's painful, and it's tiring, and it's frustrating. And man, guess what? Moses never actually made it to the promised land. Of all people who I think should have made it to there, seems like he should have been able to make it. But God's like, nope, I got something better for you. I want you to hold on to me, and I want you to really listen to the words that I'm saying. So as we close, we all need to listen to God. And here's the truth. As we're listening to his word, like some of us need to respond with simply just believing in him for the first time. Right? I have to believe in this room there are people who have not yet said, okay, I've heard, and now I'm going to trust you and I'll enter your rest. Man, if that's you, I'm telling you, God speaks today. He's speaking through his word. He's speaking through Jesus. Trust that. Believe that. Simply say, God, I'm going to follow you. Right? For some of us, we're in a spot where we hear and we know all the words, right? Just like our parents. How many of us, you hear your parents, blah, 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 blah. I mean, my kids aren't like that, but but do we listen? Do we obey? What's God actually asking us to do? Because he's asking us to do different things, right? He really is. And when we listen, we respond. We're going to have a few extra minutes here this morning, and I'm supposed to talk about this. A lot of you have this prayer journal, and this will walk us through some different practices of listening this week. One of them is this practice where we open up the word, we read it, and then we really ask the Lord, God, speak through your word. God, I really want to hear what you have to say through your word. Right? And I would challenge you, as you're doing that, I don't think it gives a text in here. Camp out in Hebrews. Man, they're an incredible book. Listen through what God's speaking to you through Hebrews. Right? There's other practices that, man, we're going to get alone this week just simply by ourselves, and we're going to silence the noise, and we're going to say, God, I'm listening to you. Like, maybe you'll hear something. Most of us won't. Right? I'm just going to be honest. But while we are silencing ourselves before the Lord, God does speak, right? And sure, it may not be an audible voice, but God's spirit is alive and well, and he will make it clear what he wants us to do if we give him the space. And so I'd just encourage you to go through that. But right now, we're going to have a few minutes. We're just going to be in silence here. The band's going to come up. Sorry, silence with the band playing. The band will come up. No one will be talking. And I just want us to pray asking God, I want to listen. I want to be a person who hears your words and listens and responds. So I'm going to start us in prayer, then we're just going to leave it long enough to be awkward, but good enough to really hear. Father, oh man, we have so much noise. And sometimes when we open up your word, we hear it, And sometimes we don't like it. And that's nothing new. But if you're real, God, your words matter. If you're real, God, how you call us to live is important. And God, I'm not sitting here wondering if you're real. I know you're real. Therefore, your words do matter. And how you call us to live is really important. And so, God, I want to be a church that just has a posture before you that says we're going to be silent and we're going to think deeply about your word and how you've spoken. God, I thank you that you have spoken, that we don't have to sit here and wonder what God thinks of me, wonder what God's plan for my future is, wonder what I'm supposed to do. And you've made that pretty clear.
Thanks for listening to today's teaching from Northwest Hills Community Church. We hope you find ways to apply the gospel to your life. And be sure to check out our website, nwhills.com, where you'll find ways to engage with us. And if you're able, we'd love to see you at church next Sunday. Thanks again for listening.